A couple weeks ago, in our liturgy, Jesus announced the beginning of his ministry in the synagogue of Nazareth, where he returned to his own hometown. They handed him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, and he read from the prophet Isaiah the following words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." In today's Gospel, not long after that proclamation in the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus comes down from a mountain where he has been praying and calling the 12 to be his followers. And he speaks these words: "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." This is the same Jesus who, in Luke chapter 4, said that the Spirit had come upon him to announce good news to the poor. So now in this chapter 7-6 of Luke's Gospel, Jesus is now preaching, proclaiming that good news to the poor. "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are hungry, you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way." There are two different versions of the Beatitudes in the Gospels. Luke's version is one of them, but Matthew also has his own version. In fact, it is in Matthew's version of the Beatitudes where we see Jesus going up to the mountain, on top of the mountain, sitting down and teaching the Beatitudes from on top of the mountain. The mountain, of course, always a symbolic place in the Scriptures, a place of encounter and conversation with God. Thus, we're familiar with the phrase, the Sermon on the Mount. But in Luke's Gospel, Jesus comes down from the mountain with the 12 apostles whom he has called. He stops and he looks out at the crowd of followers, a crowd with poor people in it, and speaks the blessings to them, directly to them. We can see this crowd almost and see that there are poor and persecuted people among his disciples. Luke's Beatitudes then happen after the prayerful encounter with God on the mountaintop. Jesus is now back on the plains, moving, walking, preaching. The word of God that was spoken on the mountain, which of course reminds us of Moses, is now being put into practice. Jesus' Beatitudes, his preaching, flow from his listening to God, his prayerful listening on the mountain. So Jesus is like the new Moses now, walking with his people toward freedom, taking time to go up onto the mountain to listen to God, to receive God's word. But now he comes down to mix with the people, to announce a new world where the poor and the hungry, those who weep and are rejected and hated, are blessed by God. "Yours," he says, "is the kingdom of God." But then Jesus turns and directs his words at the rich and the powerful, letting them know that unless they are converted and make the cause of the poor and oppressed their own, their future will be one of hunger and suffering. As with the case of Mary's Magnificat in the first chapter of Luke, Jesus' Beatitudes, this sermon, turns the world upside down. This is what he had announced these two chapters earlier in Luke 4, that he had been anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor, and that God in fact was going to turn the world upside down. We can be part of that good news by walking the journey of faith and life and hope alongside the poor in loving solidarity. Or we can reject Jesus' preaching and choose to join the rich and the powerful who seek to control the world. In our following of Jesus, we either make a preferential option for the poor, the weak, the rejected, and the outcast, or we make a preferential option for the wealthy and the powerful. But I'd like to invite us for a moment to put ourselves into the gospel today, to hear Jesus' blessings spoken to us as we stand there in the crowd with the poor, the rejected, the heavy burden, the persecuted, those who weep. Jesus is not far away, and he looks in our direction, and he speaks the words of blessing. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Why does Jesus say that the poor are blessed? How could he dare say that the poor are blessed? Is he not being somewhat naive? Would we dare proclaim today that a single mother with no medical insurance and several children without a job is blessed? Or what about an Iraqi mother weeping over the death of several of her family members and children because of a bomb that exploded? Or in fact, the mother of a U.S. soldier fighting in Iraq in such a confusing and aimless war. Would we ever today say that these people are blessed? What does it mean then for Jesus to call these poor and rejected and persecuted people blessed? I think that it is in our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, a kind of wisdom poem, that we can get some insight into this question. Jeremiah also speaks a kind of beatitude in this reading from chapter 17. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. This person is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes, its leaves stay green in the year of drought. It shows no distress, but still bears fruit. Jeremiah is proclaiming a blessing to those who trust in the Lord, those who sink their roots deep into the goodness of God. I think that this prophecy, this wisdom song or poem of Jeremiah, unlocks the Beatitudes for us in today's gospel. Jeremiah proclaims that those who trust in God are blessed. I think in a sense that Jeremiah is asking us a question today. Where are our roots? Where are we rooted? Are we rooted deeply in the faithful love and mercy of God, in the waters of God's steadfastness? Or are we rooted in worldly security, money, power, weapons, and military strength? Woe to you who are rich, Jesus says in the gospel. You already have your consolation. Where are our roots? The word anawim in the Bible is a word which roughly translates as the poor of God. God's poor, the ones who, being poor, root themselves in God. These are the poor that Jesus blesses in the Beatitudes today in Luke's Gospel. Blessed are the poor, those who weep, those who are rejected and persecuted, but who have sunk their roots deep into God. I would like to share a story that happened about a month ago here in Lima, Peru, where I live. I live not very far from an old house which is where St. Martin de Porres was born back in 1579. This house has been converted into a place where the poor can receive medical attention, legal advice, social workers help them. There's a soup kitchen as part of this home that once is where Martin's mother lived in a small room and gave birth to her son. The room where Martin was born has been converted into a small chapel, and I was in that chapel about a month ago. I visit frequently when I pass through that part of the city. And sitting on a small bench in this very small chapel was a very poor woman with her bags around her feet, probably had just come in off the street. And she was looking up at the statue of Martin, praying, tears rolling down her face, and I could see her lips moving as she was staring into Martin's face, praying, seeking some kind of sign of God's love. And as I looked at her face and saw her tears and saw her dry, wrinkled, leathery hands holding a rosary, I couldn't help but think that here was this woman who probably has nothing. I'm not even sure she has a place to live. And yet there she was, faithfully pouring her heart out to God, asking for the intercession of St. Martin de Porres. Her eyes looking into the eyes of Martin as if to say, I need you to fill me with the living water of God's love. These are the Anawim. These are the poor of God. These are the desperately, utterly broken, downtrodden poor of our world today, who have placed their trust in God, who have placed their hope in the living streams of God's mercy. This is what we are being invited to today in the Gospel and in this beautiful poem from the prophet Jeremiah, to stand firm in the love of God, to allow our roots to sink deep into the waters of God's mercy. Jesus himself, at the end of his life, found himself one more amongst the Anawim of his time, hated, persecuted, condemned to die. He himself was just one more of the last in the kingdom of God. And yet the very last words that Jesus utters in Luke's Gospel, the Gospel that we have heard today, are, Abba, into your hands I commend my spirit. The very last act in Jesus' life in Luke's Gospel is to give himself over to God, to his Abba. He died on the tree of the cross like a common criminal, hated and rejected, a tree which seemed to be dead and lifeless, the end of a long journey. But that was not the case at all. The roots of Jesus' heart were deeply sunk into the life-giving waters of the heart of God. As Jeremiah's prophecy says, he's like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green in the year of drought. It shows no distress, but still bears fruit. This is the tree of the cross, the tree of the poor man Jesus who died rejected, and yet whose roots stretched out into the depths of God's abundant and eternal mercy. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Do we dare throw our lot in with God's poor?